If you plan to do some online Christmas shopping on Amazon, you can help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Just go to smile.amazon.com, sign into your Amazon account, enter Lutheran Public Radio into the charitable organization search field, and click Select. A percentage of your purchase will be donated to Issues Etc. Smile.amazon.com and choose Lutheran Public Radio. Thanks for your support.
The New York-based and Washington-based, too, probably, media powerhouses don't quite get religion. We don't get the role of religion in people's lives.
That's New York Times executive editor Dean Baquet speaking with Terry Gross of NPR's Fresh Air recently. That caused a little bit of a social media storm. And a New York Times editor admitting? It's hard to tell. I think he's admitting, I don't think he's bragging about it, that the news outlets there in the Eastern Corridor, the East Coast, they just don't get religion. Now, what's the context of that statement? And more importantly, it's easy to diagnose that problem. It's hard not to have diagnosed it. Many, like our guest coming up here, Terry Mattingly, diagnosed the problem a long time ago. What are the solutions? What do organizations like the New York Times, Washington Post, what do they do to remedy that deficit in their media coverage? Terry Mattingly is our guest, joining us to talk about this admission by New York Times executive editor, "We Don't Get Religion." He's senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
All right. Do you feel vindicated to hear the executive editor of the New York Times say, "We don't get religion"?
Well, do you think I got any email about that?
Nah.
When that happened? I'm surprised that we did not have wrecks among Get Religion readers who were driving along in their cars and heard that coming out of the dashboard radio, you know, and I would never, ever, ever justify texting while driving. But don't you know there were people who were tempted to just like pull over wherever they were and fire me an email? I literally think some of them did. Yeah, I mean, to some degree, the phrase "get religion," which was, you could hardly find in Google at all almost 13 years ago when we started the website. You now find the phrase "get religion" something like 180,000 times in an ordinary search, you know, for the phrase on Google. So, yeah, I think that the term was already in circulation. I should also mention that about a year and a half after the birth of the website, I was at a conference in New York City, and the keynote speaker at this national journalism conference was Keller, Bill Keller, the editor of the New York Times at that point, and of course the person for whom we have dedicated the term Kellerism for describing this doctrine that there are moral and religious subjects on which newspapers no longer have to do balanced or even at times fair coverage of the conservative or traditionally religious side of the arguments. He spoke, and I went up afterwards and I introduced myself to him and, you know, told him I was interested in getting a copy of his text. I had brought some of my students there and mentioned along the way that I was also the editor of a new blog, a media criticism blog called Get Religion. And he turned and looked at me rather sharply and said, "Yes, I'm very familiar with that one." So, I mean, I think our work has been on some people's radar for a long time. So, yeah, I feel vindicated. At the same time, I'm somewhat confused. As you alluded to the context, and I wrote a lengthy piece on this for Get Religion, and I didn't pound it out immediately. I wanted to stop and actually spend a day or so thinking about the contents of the interview, and I reread it several times. I did find it kind of disturbing, that, and I think this says as much about Terry Gross and NPR, the format of the Fresh Air show, and her views as it does the editor's views. But I did find it kind of interesting that in a discussion of the alt-right and of xenophobic and racist and anti-Semitic trends linked to this election and to parts of the support for Donald Trump, that when thinking about the implications of that for his newspaper, here we have the executive editor of the New York Times saying that the first thing he thinks of is religion news and how they don't do a very good job of covering religion news, and thus they may not understand a lot of the anger that's in the American public. I found that a kind of disturbing connection. And the minute he's done talking about that and talking about the need to do a better job of covering religion, and this is one subject that is typical of things we could do better, Terry Gross goes right back into a discussion of the wilder and harsher elements of the alt-right. And I'm not sure that that's very fair to say that the alt-right is somehow typical of religious believers in America who might be critical of how religion news and moral and cultural issues are covered in American life. So that was the main point of my article, which is if that's the connection the New York Times is drawing from this, I'm not sure that's an altogether healthy connection.
So while kind of happy for the admission per se, what you're questioning there is in the somewhat free association of Dean Baquet's mind, when he heard alt-right, he went to religion.
That is how I read that section. Now, trust me, I have read it over and over, and I really think the connection may be just as strong or stronger in the mind of Terry Gross as it is in Dean Baquet. I've asked for our readers, and you know, conservative readers, religious conservative readers are pretty upset about this anyway. I'm really anxious to run into some journalists and talk to them about how they read that section of the article and if they share my concerns about it.
It's easy to diagnose, as I said before, you and others have been diagnosing this for a decade. But the solutions, okay, so Dean Baquet picks up the phone and he calls you. He says, I'm a busy man, but I'll give you 5 minutes. What do I need to do as executive editor of the New York Times to remedy this deficit in our understanding? What would you say to him? 3 things that we need to do to remedy this deficit.
That's an interesting question, and one I hadn't thought of it in precisely those terms. So pardon me while I ramble a bit and try to get it down to 3 specific things. First of all, I would say that you don't solve this problem by hiring an additional editorial columnist. There have been some articles saying that elite publications right now are all shopping for pro-Trump columnists. Well, first of all, a columnist doesn't impact your news coverage. Second, I'm not sure that many religious critics of the New York Times are pro-Trump. They may be anti-Hillary, and many of them may have voted for Trump reluctantly, or they may have cast third-party votes. I'm still looking, one of the figures out of this election I'm very anxious to see, is I'm still curious to know how many third-party votes there were in this election from coast to coast when you add them all up. It'd be very interesting to know that number. So hiring a kind of libertarian, pro-Trump, wild man as an editorial columnist is not going to solve the news problem. The second thing I would say to him is don't hire anyone to work for the New York Times who isn't good enough to work for the New York Times. Don't think that somehow you're being asked to lower your standards in the news biz in terms of technical skills and talent in order to get intellectual and cultural diversity in your newsroom. Now, when you're as old as I am, and you've been in journalism education as long as I have, and you've been in journalism as long as I have, I know there are talented New York Times-level reporters out there who would love to take a shot at working in the New York Times if given a fair chance. They have talents worthy of working in the New York Times. So I would tell him, don't lower your standards. Go for the best, but question your own assumptions about what happens between the ears of national and global level talents in the field of journalism. And I guess the third thing, I would ask him to consider reaching out to religious critics of Trump. And specifically, so don't blame all this on Trump. Don't blame all this on the alt-right. Find yourself some Muslims, Jews, Orthodox, Catholic, Evangelical, Reformed, Lutheran. Find yourself some brilliant Christians who were not crazy about Trump, yet are highly critical of the New York Times, and ask them the question you just asked me. And you might also ask their educational leaders, quite frankly, to get more involved in journalism at the level of their college, and dare I say, even their seminaries. Years ago, the Billy Graham associate, Leighton Ford, when I was pondering the decision to leave the newsroom and begin teaching briefly at Denver Theological Seminary, he said he thought that move would be worth it if all I did was teach future pastors and parachurch leaders and Christian leaders how to deal with the media and to understand how the media works and not to blame the media for things that happen on the editorial page all the time and how to read the news with a more critical eye that is both constructive as well as negative. So does that help? That's three stabs just kind of quickly out of my mind.
So in other words, don't go slumming for a subpar reporter that you think is going to somehow balance your reporting. And it's not really about diversity in the newsroom. It's about learning more, your journalists learning more about religion. One of the things that Bakay said there, Terry, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the quote directly from him. He said, we have our religion beat reporter, yeah, and they're all alone. What does that mean?
Well, he said they have a brilliant religion beat reporter, and he's right. I don't agree with everything that's produced on the religion beat at the New York Times, but no, they have the major problem at the New York Times is not the occupant of the religion beat chair. Now, the whole idea that one person is going to cover religion on planet Earth is as laughable as it was back in the 70s when the late George Cornell noted that he was the Associated Press religion writer for planet Earth. Now, how would you like that job? How would you like to wake up to that job in the morning? I mean, it's certainly a challenge. It's certainly a wonderful thing, but is anybody really going to be able to do that? No, they've got bigger systemic issues, but they are issues that must be addressed with talent and brain power entering their newsroom from different doors and different perspectives, maybe different colleges, different regions, all of which are hinted at in the 2005 self-study of the New York Times that you and I have discussed many times, in which this independent board that evaluated the Times during a moment of great crisis in the newsroom, that committee said, among other factors, that one of their primary problems was a lack of intellectual diversity and that they didn't have anyone in the newsroom of the New York Times who could understand the heartland of America, could understand rural people, could understand military people, and could understand religious believers of different kinds. That's just as true as it was 13 years ago when that report began being worked on. 12, 13 years.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. I guess that raises a bigger question for the other side of the break, and that is this really part of a broader problem? Is it not just that the New York Times doesn't get religion? Maybe it doesn't get a big sector of America. We'll answer that question with Terry Mattingly right after this.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldusa.org. worldusa.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School of Edwardsville, Illinois presents Journey to the Manger, an interactive Christmas experience.
Bring your family and friends to experience a wonderful reenactment of the Christmas story.
There will be live music and a cookie sale.
Journey to the Manger is from 5 to 8 p.m. on December 23rd. Allow yourself at least 30 minutes to make your way through the entire Christmas story.
Free will donations of $25 or more will receive a free handcrafted gift.
Come to Journey to the Manger for an evening of fun, fellowship,
and the celebration of the true reason for the season.
For any questions, call 618-656-0043. Merry Christmas!
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Terry Mattingly about the admission by the New York Times executive editor, We Don't Get Religion. Terry is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, author of the book Pop Goes Religion, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, before the break, you were talking about kind of the solution for outlets like the New York Times to maybe in the future get religion, but I wonder whether or not this We Don't Get Religion is simply a part of a bigger problem, which is we don't get a lot of Americans. What do you think?
Well, that's certainly true. They also don't understand, to some degree, why so many Americans are upset with the press. And if I could make a bit of a segue, I want to connect what you're asking about to another subject. I think the whole context of this discussion of distrust of the press, the press not getting religion, that this is also connected to another subject that's just burning up the media right now, which is the wider subject of fake news and the fact that this the heartland of America is consuming all of this shoddy journalistic product that is supposedly, you know, hurting public discourse, et cetera. And first of all, I'm a major critic of fake news. I have a lot of trouble with it. I think it's horrible. I think the trend is a tremendous threat to public discourse in America, but I think it's important for editors in places like the New York Times, Washington Post, National Public Radio, the Associated Press, and a lot of other elite newsrooms for them to realize that to some degree they're driving a lot of the public to alternative and often shoddy forms of news. Not all of them are shoddy, but many are, with their coverage. And with the unfairness of their coverage, in many cases the inaccuracy of their coverage, and these two subjects are connected, the subject of the public distrust of the press and of the product of the press, and the rise of this whole situation with fake news. I'll give you an example that I wrote a piece about that went up at Get Religion Today, and it focuses on something here in Tennessee, where there is a group of business leaders who have gotten together to create a coalition to oppose what everybody is now calling bathroom laws. But what they really are, they're laws either about privacy for women and children, or in many cases, they're linked to the whole issue of religious liberty and religious liberty in two particular audiences. One, religious institutions and whether those institutions can be considered a part of public accommodation laws, and then a slightly different but related topic, which is the religious liberty of individual business owners and whether they have a right to in any way have their own beliefs about issues like gender somehow be reflected in their businesses. That's a very complex topic, but here's a major story. A bunch of big, heavy-hitting businesses have created a coalition to oppose these conservative, morally conservative laws in the Tennessee legislature. Now, it's a long story, about 1,300 words, coming out of the Nashville Tennessean, one of the dominant newspapers. And about halfway through it, I almost dropped my breakfast on the floor when I hit a paragraph that simply stated, among the groups that were sponsoring this project are the three largest newspapers of the state of Tennessee. Now, I have no doubt whatsoever that that is the corporate side of those newspapers, including the Tennessean, in which I was reading the article. I have no doubt whatsoever that this is the corporate side of these newspapers that is involved in this campaign and made this decision. But at the same time, can you imagine the reaction to reading that paragraph from conservative, moral people in a state where that Trump won extremely easily, a very morally conservative state as a rule historically? Do you think that that makes them trust those newspapers more when it comes time to read coverage of religious, moral, and cultural issues? You probably can guess the answer to that.
Terry, with about a minute or so here, I wanted to give you an opportunity to clear your mind on an opinion piece written by Sarah Pulliam Bailey, a regular guest here on the program, for the Washington Post, a letter of sorts addressed to evangelicals.
Well, I mean, of course, she's also a former member of the Get Religion team. I wondered why she wrote the article to evangelicals. Everybody seems to be blaming everything on evangelicals right now. I know all kinds of religious people who are mad as heck fire at the media and how it's treated both this election and moral and issues. Other than that, I mostly agreed with everything that was in her article. I think she, you know, sitting in the newsroom of the Washington Post, I'm not sure she was in a great position to be critical of the Washington Post or the New York Times or other elite media that kind of hang out in that pack. But the vast part of her article I would totally agree with. And most of all, I would agree with her statement that theologically, it is wrong for conservative religious believers of various ilks to write off journalism as somehow being the work of Satan and not worthy of serious attention or of the time and talents of their young people, their own investment in it as consumers and readers. I would wholeheartedly agree with about 80% of what she had to say and attribute much of what she didn't say to the fact that she wrote this in the Washington Post, which was a good thing.
Terry Mattingly, a senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thank you very much for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we're going to spend some time with Doug Axe, a molecular biologist and director of the Biologic Institute for the Discovery Institute. We're going to be talking about a recent conference in London, a big one, the Royal Academy of Sciences, and trends in evolutionary biology.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.